Hey there, this is Nona Jones, and welcome to the Nona Jones Podcast. That's right, we're no longer undefeated with Nona Jones. We are now the Nona Jones Podcast. But even though the name of the podcast has changed, the mission is the same. This podcast is about lifting up the stories of people who have attained success. And so many of us admire the success, but what we don't know is that behind the success, there was a tremendous amount of discouragement and disappointment and even trauma that they had to wrestle with in order to emerge on the other side of it undefeated. Listen, before I jump into my conversation with my guest today, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, please take a moment to do it and don't forget to rate it and review it. If you were to characterize your family growing up and the type of parents that you had, would you say they were pretty strict? Were there a lot of rules and don'ts? Well, for my guest today, he grew up in a home that was defined by love and support, but it was also very much so regimented and strict. As he grew into young adulthood, he determined in his mind that he was going to find a way to get out from under all of the rules, to actually enjoy life, have fun. But you know, sometimes fun isn't free. Anthony O'Neill has emerged onto the national stage as a voice for financial freedom. And his passion for financial freedom is not abstract. He found himself in a very precarious situation as he was expelled from college and suddenly without anything. Join us for the conversation to learn more about why financial freedom is so important to him and to you.
So Anthony, I'm so excited to have you because not only are you like one of the coolest people I know, but you just have such a powerful story of resilience. You know, best-selling author, speaker, you're just doing it up, man. But people have seen you on the platform, and I don't think they realize that there actually is a backstory. So I would love it if you could just tell us, you know, who was Anthony O'Neill before you were the Anthony O'Neill that people think they know?
Oh, man. Nona, thanks again for having me on your show. But to go back way to the Anthony O'Neill young one, that's a young man that needed a lot of work. I'm going to put it like that. But, you know, man, I was blessed and privileged to grow up with four loving parents, two biological parents, and two step parents. And I really don't use the term step because I'm blessed to have two other parents. And so I have my mother and other father and siblings in California. Then I have my father and other mother in North Carolina. And I grew up in a very strong Christian faith doctrine home. And what was so beautiful about that is I knew everything about Christ. Now, here was a downfall, is that I knew everything about Christ and only Christ, but not the practical life. And so it was to the point to where I couldn't go to football games. I couldn't go to basketball games, going to the mall to chill with my friends, to really just enjoy life. Prom started at 7. I had to be home by 8:15 p.m.
Wait. Before people even showed up, you had to be home.
Come on now. Come on. Thank you. See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm leaving when people are just now starting to show up. And, man, you know, when I graduated high school, sis, I was like, I'm done. Like, I know Christ, he knows my heart, but I just want to be free. And I made a lot of young, stupid decisions, at a very young age. Went out there and racked up debt just to impress females, just to be a part of a particular fraternity that I didn't even make it into it because I did something, you know, unwise. And unfortunately, it cost my college experience and my college career. And before I turned 19 years old, I'm $35,000 in debt, kicked out of college, can't go home because my father is like, hey, you made some mistakes. You go live with it since you think you're a grown man. And so I'm homeless at 19 years old. I'm sleeping in the back of my car the majority of those nights. I'm trying to sleep at a friend's house whenever I could. I'm taking a bath at the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club at 19. And both sides of my family are not broke. Now, they're not rich at all, but, you know, they were the average median household family. but I'm sleeping in the back of my car. And so that's just a little bit about the background of who I am. I don't come from wealth. I come from a very strong, hardworking, middle-class Christian faith home. And I made a lot of mistakes at a very young age.
This is powerful because, you know, as we're talking, I keep thinking about the story of the prodigal son, and how, you know, he had access to so much, but didn't realize the value of it. And so I'm curious, you know, at what point in your, you know, being homeless, at what point in your lack did you actually realize, wait a minute, all that, you know, not getting to stay at the prom, all that, you know, not getting to go to football games, that actually wasn't so bad. Like, what made you come to some realizations?
When God took it all. When I am literally naked, spiritually, naked mentally, naked physically. I remember the last night sleeping in my car. I'm having to take a bath in my car. I'm washing myself down in my car. And I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I'm like, this is not the life that God wanted for me. Wow. This is not where God wants me to go. Now, this is not what God birthed me for. And so that's when I realized that I had everything, you know, a family of four, parents, when some people don't even have a family of two, parents who are together and raising them together. But I was blessed and privileged to have two amazing siblings and a loving church. And I said, you know what? Yeah, I missed out on some practical things as a young person. But my foundation was a solid foundation, and that's rooted in Jesus Christ. And so it was at that time that I said, you know what? I'm going to change my life around. I started learning about money. I started learning about practical skills. And I got my life back on track with Jesus Christ. I said, God, I know I'm not going to be perfect, but I never want to go back there. And I don't want to go back there. And I want to make sure that no one, even as well, who follows me, goes back there as well. So that was the season. And I will never forget, it was on a Friday night, the back of the car, and I'm naked, practically, spiritually, and physically. And I said, I'm done. I don't want this anymore. And I never want to come back here.
Wow, this is powerful. You know, I'm thinking you were at a fork in the road. There are people who have been in destitute situations, you know, some because of their own choosing, some because of life circumstances, and they have to make a choice. Do I allow this circumstance to define me and make me bitter and angry? Or do I use this as a springboard into purpose, which is what it sounds like you did? How were you able to even make that decision in such a dark place?
Whew, man, it wasn't an easy decision. It was a decision that required discipline, and it required maturity to be like, all right, let me turn this season, learn from this season, and then move forward and use the past season to push me into my future. And that was a hard thing for me, because here's the thing that made it all happen. I went home and I told my other father and said, Pops, I'm not a grown man, and I still have a lot to learn, but I'm ready to learn to become a grown man. And my father said, come on home, and I'm going to show you. And that's when everything started shifting, when I acknowledged that I am the reason why I was in that situation, and I could be the reason why my future is different, but I have to admit where I'm wrong at, and I had to go ask for wise counsel from older, mature, wiser men who can mature me, who can help grow me and put me into that right direction. And it was both my fathers. You know, they really stepped up around that season and taught me how to become a man. And my other father, and actually both of them, both apologized. Like, you're right. We taught you everything about Christ, but we didn't teach you how to live out what Christ is telling you to do. Yeah. And so that's when my dad started teaching me about budgeting and money and all these other type of good stuff that I needed to live here on earth. But I had to first tell myself, you messed up, but you can change it.
So good. And you're what you're saying is you became a man after being a man.
Yes.
You became a man. And that really was because of the personal responsibility and personal accountability that you were able to take. I remember, you know, so when I first met you, you were leading the youth ministry at a large church in Florida, just like super high energy, like the youth loved you. They loved all that you did. What got you on that path to thinking about next generation ministry?
So when I was in my sleeping in the back of my car, I realized that, man, at a young age, I wasn't taught how to succeed in the world. I was taught how to make sure I make it into heaven. And I said, you know what, God, I want every young person going to heaven, but I want to make sure that they can succeed here on earth and operate within their purpose and within their calling. And so when I got out of debt, I said, you know what, God, I want to start an organization called Young People Succeeding, where I'm going around to high schools, churches, community centers, different communities, the less fortunate communities. And I'm teaching these young people how to succeed, because I realized that the only reason why I wasn't succeeding was because of, one, lack of discipline for myself, and then two, the lack of knowledge. And so I said, all right, let me bring the knowledge to these young people. Let me teach them the word of God, but then also let me teach them what's the difference between a debit card and a credit card. Let me teach them how to open up a checking account. Let me teach them how to go to college debt-free. Let me teach them what is a credit score? What is a credit report? Let me teach them how to properly take a young lady out on a date, how to open the door, you know, how to flirt with her without disrespecting her and still honoring the woman who she is, you know, how to really have these practical skills. Because I learned that the world is teaching our young people all this stuff, but what are we doing as the church, as the body? And so I'm just like, God, give me the wisdom, give me the tools, because while I'm teaching them, I'm still learning myself in certain areas. And so when I went off to Bishop Rudolph McKissick's church, man, it was probably the best move for me, period, because that's where I really started growing and maturing. And we really impacted Jacksonville and Fayetteville when I was in Fayetteville for a little while in a great way, because I just really want to make sure that we well balanced. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So I want to teach them faith and also teach them how to work practically here on earth.
So let's talk about the transition from youth ministry to becoming a Ramsey personality. Like, walk us through how that happened and what you're up to now.
Yeah, you know, that was the hardest transition ever, because Bishop Rudolph McKissick Jr. and the Bethel Church impacted my life in a tremendous way. But during one season, during that season, the end of that season, God really put it on my heart to, I've called you to impact the world, not just one particular culture. And I was like, okay, so what does that look like? And so I started interviewing for different people. And then I won't say the names of the different people I started interviewing with in the church world. But while I'm interviewing with these major church names, Dave, you know, him and his team reach out and say, hey, man, we love what you're doing already with the young people, and we would love to bring you in to do a Devo and just see how you can relate with our, you know, with our company. And so I said, all right, cool. Go up there and do a Devo. And it was, man, it felt so good to be in a room when the majority of the room, they don't look like me, you know, but they're still impacted by my message. And I said, God, yeah, I want to be here. I still want to impact and be a huge voice to people who look like me. But also at the same time, you called me to preach and teach the world, not just one particular thing. And so it took about a year process with Dave, because as a personality, you're helping him and his family just be the forward facing for the entire company. And so we just had to make sure that we both like each other. We could see a long term benefit here. And to make a long story short, we joined it. It's been an interesting journey, to be honest, but it's been the best journey of my life, because I've grown so much and God has matured me here so much. But at the same time, being here, I've been able to impact more people because my calling, my ministry in life is to help all people, and especially minorities, get out of debt, build wealth so they can leave an inheritance for their children's children and buy whatever they want without racking up any debt for it.
Well, that in and of itself is a straight up ministry. that is a ministry. You once said, the choices you make today determine the caliber of your future. Yes. How would you suggest people prepare themselves to make good choices today so that their future actually looks like what they want it to be.
Man, you know, I had a Devon Franklin on my show the other day, and he said something that was so true. He said, don't worry about the future. Worry about the present, because if you make the right decisions in the present, it will set up your future to be very positive. And so when I say the caliber of your future will be determined by the choices you have and the choices that you make today, what I mean is have goals, but work back to what are the daily habits you need to be doing today to impact your tomorrow. So for me, at 35 years old, I'm not married. I'm not in a relationship. I don't have any kids, but I'm already thinking about my future wife and my future kids. That's my future. But today I'm making better decisions with my money, with my choices, with my life, with my ministry, because knowing my mom and my other father never had a wedding. My mom didn't have a ring. We never went on family vacations. I've never been to Disney World. I remember having to sleep in the same bedroom with both my siblings, sister and brother, because our income just, it wasn't there. And so I'm thinking of my future. I do not want my wife and my kids to go through that. And so today at 35, I'm living below my means. I'm living on a budget. And ladies who I'm dating today, they don't like me because I'm on a budget. And that's fine. But because I'm living in the present, that will one day impact my future. So if you really want your future to be impacted, think about the choices you're making today. Make the right ones today. Even if it doesn't make sense today, it will make sense tomorrow.
I love how you threw out the ladies, plural, but we're not going to dig into that.
Wait. I don't mean it like that.
The ladies I'm dating.
I'm just saying, like, the past ladies that I've dated over the last 5 years.
Clean it up. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, let me just be real. You know? I had a video go viral because I said this young lady wouldn't date me because I was on a budget. And I just told her that that's out of my budget. I have a lot of money, but I was like, I didn't want to spend that much money on that particular item because I'm on a budget. Right. So that's what I meant by that. My sister trying to get me caught up.
I'm not trying to get you caught up. Don't worry. Listen, we're going to change something real quick because I can stay here forever. So here's the question. So after hitting rock bottom, right? You got to a place where, like you said earlier, you were literally bathing in your car. I don't know how much more bottom there is to that. What level of focus did it take for you to actually get back up and begin to rebuild?
Oh, man. The level of focus was insane. It was, I had to redefine self-discipline. And when I say that, self-discipline to me is the bridge between who I am today to who I want to be tomorrow. Self-discipline is the bridge between where I am today and where I want to be tomorrow. And so when I was in the back of that car and I see myself with soap suds at the top of my neck and I see myself, I'm like, this is not where I want to be tomorrow. I do not want to be in this same position tomorrow. And so I think oftentimes we hear this word like you can just change. And I believe some things you can't just change like that. But you can change the mind like that. You can say, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. Hey, I'm not going to be here anymore. So when I changed that in my mind, it was then I said, all right, now what are the steps that I need to take to make sure that I do not do that? And that's when I started really surrounding myself around mentors, wiser individuals. And to be honest with you, I lost a lot of so-called friends during that season because my mind shifted and I wanted more for my life. I wanted to build true wealth, not fake rich. And so when I did that, people were like, well, nah, man, you got to look like this. You got to have that. I'm like, no, I don't have to look like this. I don't have to fake it until I make it. I got to change my mind because my mind is a business. The number one tool with all of us is our minds. It's a business. I got to be the CEO of my mind. And so when I shifted into that aspect, into that state of mind, man, my whole life shifted. And I just had to stay focused. I had to get on a clear vision. When I say a clear vision, if I could change my camera around, I would show you. I want to have my mortgage paid off within the next 2 years. I've already saved up for the ring for my wife. So I don't even know who she is. But the moment I meet her, 3 months later, God said,
of ladies.
I don't have a pool of ladies. What do are you talking? No, I'm just playing.
I'm just, okay.
But what I'm saying, you got to have a vision. And when you have a vision, it's easy to move forward because you know what you're fighting for. And it's easy to say no to this person. It's easy to say no to this situation or to this offer because it has to be in line with your vision. But you got, it starts with self-discipline. And no, I don't have pool of ladies.
And take a catapult. Listen, I have said for the longest time in my life, you know, you have to be very focused on what are you trying to accomplish? Because once you're clear on that, the so-called options eliminate themselves, because you can't, to your point, you can't pay off a house in 2 years while also, you know, leasing cars and buying, you know, handbags and taking trips on credit. Like, you just, once you get clear on the goal, the options eliminate themselves. And something you said on Twitter, I want to get the quote right. You said, don't stop dreaming, stop going into debt.
Ah, yes.
I mean, tell us, talk to us about that.
You know, when you do the average, when you do the studies and you step back, 78%, now is actually nearly at 80% of the people in America today are living paycheck to paycheck. When you really step back and really do some more stats, like I dive deep, the average middle class person drives a Mercedes C-Class when the average multimillionaire drives a Ford F-150. How do I know this? My mentor, Dave Ramsey, who is a multimillionaire, drives a Ford F-150. And so it bothers me when I see people, they're going out to their dreams and the world is teaching them, hey, you know what? Dream and get it today. Finance it today. Go after it because you deserve it. No, forget about deserve. I want you to earn it. I want you to step back and say, you know what? I'm going to pay cash for it. A lot of people think I don't want them living out their dreams. I don't want them buying nice things. No, I do. I just don't want your dream to turn into a nightmare. That's it. And so debt, I believe, steals joy. Debt believes, I just believe debt is just the thief. And so recently I was able to do certain things that I wanted to do and pay cash for it. It took me 2-3 years to save up and do these particular things. But you know what? That's fine because I can delay my wants and my needs so I can do it right. I really want you to think about it. A lot of people, when they pass, they're leaving bills and benefits, but they're not leaving wealth, land, business, a joy, peace. And for me, I refuse to live paycheck to paycheck. I refuse to be in bondage for the rest of my life. I refuse to be 65, 75, 85 years old, and I have to work because I wasn't willing to make sacrifices so I can go after my dreams. And so everything that I believe today, everything that I own, I pay cash for it outside of my house. One day I pray that I can pay cash for my next house. But today, my car, anything that I want, if I can't pay for it cash, and not just cash, if I can't pay for it twice, I don't buy it, you know? And so that's just my main philosophy, is that debt is a thief. It destroys families. We see that money is the number one reason why marriages are breaking up. And so I haven't seen God speak positive about owing anyone anything. So for me, nah, I don't do debt. I do freedom. I do joy.
This is the idea behind the Undefeated Show. There are people who have been wrestling through just financial difficulty and financial challenge, and they feel like there is no hope. But I feel like you are an example of what can happen when you just get serious and you get intentional. And so for the people who are watching this, Anthony, as we kind of get ready to wrap it up, I would love it if you'd be willing to just pray a brief prayer for them, just out of your own history, so that they will understand that it is possible to put into practice what you're saying.
Yeah, let's do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for our conversation today. God, I am extremely grateful for the doors you have opened in my life, the doors you have closed in my life, for the opportunities that you have allowed me to experience. God, I don't know who's watching this today. I don't know what they're experiencing today. I don't know what's going through their heart today, but I know one thing, that you know who they are and you know what they're thinking, experiencing, and dreaming. Some of them may feel as if they may not be able to experience their dreams. They may feel as if they may never be able to be out of debt. But God, I just believe that through you, all things are possible. And you've shown that through me. And so, God, I'm asking God to show, give vision, give provision, give them resources, give them tools, God, to where you can show them how they can accomplish everything that you put inside of their heart, all the dreams, all of the desires you've given them, God. So I pray that today we have inspired someone to not worry about their past, to not even worry about their future as much, but to worry about the present and to make better decisions today that will change and that will impact that, God. I'm believing that people are going to be debt-free at the end of this year, even in the midst of a pandemic. God, I'm believing that marriages are going to be stronger at the end of this year because they got their finances right, because they started making better decisions today. I'm believing that their kids are going to be healthy and strong and prosperous in the future because of the wisdom that they're listening to from you, God. So I just thank you right now, God, for all the doors you're opening. And I'm thanking you for the doors you're going to close in our lives, God. So God, I thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen, my friend. Thank you so much. You are a blessing. I pray for God's continued just favor on your life. And to everyone watching, thank you for joining us. And we will see you here next week.
Anthony is, in my opinion, a true example of what resilience looks like. You see, he could have easily spiraled completely out of control, and the life that he lives now could be unrecognizable from what it could have been. But thank God he had that moment where he came to himself. In many ways, his story reminds me of the prodigal son in the Bible. This young man lived in a home where he had access to everything that he could possibly have wanted, and yet he thought that he was missing something, that there was something out there that if only he could get that thing, then finally he would matter. And many of us are no different. We think, well, if I just get that purse or those shoes or that car or that job, if I just get that other thing, then finally I will matter. But the thing I want you to know, there's nothing that you can acquire or accumulate outside of yourself that can give you more worth, because God determined that you were necessary for creation. And that is why you are here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please remember, subscribe to this podcast, rate it, and review it. And I look forward to another episode of the Nona Jones Podcast next week.